We're in Ephesians chapter 5, and this message worked out good, and I don't give any credit to that one except the Lord. As I was studying this, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. As I was studying this, usually when I study, I write out about 4 pages of notes on a legal pad, and then I type it out and then I study it some more. But when I was studying this one, I had 6 pages. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, how am I going to condense this down to one service? Well, the Lord worked it out. We're just going to do part of it tonight. We're going to finish the other part of it next Sunday night. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Be filled with the Spirit." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us your word. Father, we thank you that at this time we have freedom to open your word in public. We have a freedom to discuss it, freedom to preach it, freedom to share it with others. And Father, as we look at the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives and the lives of others tonight, I pray you give us a greater understanding of your work. Give us a greater love for you. Father, I pray that you would just encourage our hearts and challenge us tonight with the things that we learn. I pray that you give me the words to say, that you give me clarity of thought and speech. Father, tonight we pray for the Hatchett family as they grieve the loss of their parents. That you give them wisdom and decisions, and you continue to guide them as they go forward. I pray for Roberta, that you continue to watch over her, be with this meeting she has tomorrow with the doctor. Father, I pray that you would work in the doctor's heart, that he would see what really needs to be done to help the situation and not just throw something at it, hoping that it helps. Father, I pray that you'd work in his heart as only you can, and to give him that understanding that he needs. Be with Roberta, keep her healthy, keep her strong. I pray that we would be an encouragement to her as well. Be with the Harmons as they are up at Mayo and preparing for tests and procedures this week. You would watch over them and guide them in those things. Give them grace and strength to deal with those. Give them healing. Father, I pray that you'd watch over them. We thank you for what you will do, and we thank you for your goodness to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Probably the most important question that has come to me as I was studying this is, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? We learned last time that there are 4 ministries that the Holy Spirit has that take place immediately at salvation. At salvation, we are born again, or we're regenerated. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is not automatic. It doesn't take place automatically at salvation. It is something that takes place as we yield ourselves to the will and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as I tried to understand the filling of the Holy Spirit, I realized the Bible illustrates it perfectly here in this verse. It says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And the filling of the Spirit is different from spiritual growth. See, spiritual growth is a process over a period of time, and realistically, it's a process each one of us has for our entire Christian life. Until Christ comes again to receive us to heaven, we are growing, or should be growing, spiritually. On the other hand, the filling of the Spirit can be seen shortly after a person's salvation takes place. Look at with me at Luke chapter 1. I want to look at some examples this evening of the filling of the Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. I think these will help us to understand the timing of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Help us to understand it more. Luke chapter 1, verse 15. It says, it's talking about John the Baptist here. It says, "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Okay, so we see from that passage that the filling of the Holy Spirit isn't a growth process. Because John the Baptist hadn't even been born yet, hadn't physically shown himself yet, and it says, yet he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Look at verse 41 of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, now you know Elizabeth was a mature Christian, a mature believer. They were faithful to God. It tells us about that in the first part of Luke chapter 1. We see here that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spoke out to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. His father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." And he goes on to give a blessing of the Lord there in Luke chapter 1. Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. And what was the result? It says he prophesied. Okay. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." And so we see here that Jesus was filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. A key phrase to note in this verse is he was led by the Spirit. And we'll look at that a little bit more, maybe not tonight, but next time, but how the Holy Spirit leads us. And that's as a result of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. I think the reason I want us to understand is because sometimes people think the filling of the Holy Spirit makes you do weird things, makes you say the weird things, or just, but that's not what the filling of the Holy Spirit is. And so I think it's important for us to understand that. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so these disciples, these first disciples came and they were speaking in tongues. With those tongues, what were they? In the languages of the people that came to hear. Okay, it weren't just some gibberish, as we mentioned last time. It wasn't just some confusion. It was the language that the people that came could understand. And so the Holy Ghost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were able to proclaim the truth. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. It says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And so the disciples chose seven men full of the Holy Ghost to serve the widows. Okay? They were full of the Holy Ghost and they were able to minister effectively. Okay, that was one of the criteria that they had to have in order to choose these men. They had to be full of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Here we see again, the filling of the Holy Ghost doesn't take place as a growth process. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Saul had just been converted on the road to Damascus. He's just been led to this city, and Ananias has been told, "Ananias, you go find Saul." And here's what he tells Ananias in verse 17. "Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.'" Had Paul gone through a huge discipleship series to get to this point? Yeah. He hadn't. Paul had newly been converted, or Saul had been newly converted, and now the Bible says he's receiving the Holy Ghost. He's being filled with the Holy Ghost. As you look at the life of Paul, what was the result of that? He went out and he preached the gospel for the rest of his life. He was committed and yielded to God and to the work that he wanted to do. Look at one more. Acts chapter 13, verse 52. Again, the disciples are out preaching here. In this last verse of chapter 13, the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And so we see here the disciples, again, were filled with the Holy Ghost, and as a result, they continued on ministering. So one thing I see in each of these examples is that each person was yielded to the Holy Spirit. It wasn't something where it was just, oh, it just happened to be choosing this person, this person. No, there was a definite yielding of this person to the Holy Spirit. Well, what about John the Baptist? We see as a result, he was full of the Holy Ghost. And how did he spend his life? Being yielded to the Holy Ghost, being yielded to God's work in his life. And he was dedicated for that purpose. This quote I found, "One has found peace, power, and blessing through a definite yielding to God and reliance on his strength alone. The Bible clearly assigns the cause to be a larger manifestation of the presence and power of the Spirit. Such an one is filled with the Spirit." And so there's a yielding that has to take place for us to be filled with the Spirit. So back to the illustration of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Here we have the command to be filled with the Spirit, in contrast to the man who is drunk because he fills himself with wine. And there are some important things to note here about this contrast. First of all, being drunk with wine, it says here, leads to excess, leads to riot, leads to being unruly. I remember when I was a kid, my dad would run the garbage route up in Minneapolis. We'd be going late at night, sometimes early in the morning. We would drive him down through the streets of Minneapolis, and you'd see some guy walking down the sidewalk, and he wasn't walking. He was staggering down the sidewalk. Why? Because he was full of wine. He was full of alcohol, and he couldn't control himself. He was unruly. Oftentimes when people consume so much alcohol, they get to the point where their mind isn't thinking clearly, and they're violent. They're rioting, they're doing things that are just, as it says here, at excess. So a person that's drunk leads to excess, but a person who is filled with the Spirit leads to the outlived Christ. So a person who is filled with the Spirit, what do we see in each of these examples we looked at? That person went on and served God, and went on and served and was yielded to God and to the work that he wanted to do in their lives. And so we see a definite difference there. It's not violence, it's not excess. Rather, it's a yieldedness, and it's outliving the Christ that dwells within us, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Number two, just as a man continues to drink wine to be drunk, so a man must be constantly being filled with the Spirit. Okay? I can be filled with the Spirit one day, and I can be not filled with the Spirit the next day. Because there may be a day where I say, God, I'm giving this day to you. I'm doing whatever you want me to do today. And there may be a day I get up in the morning and say, I'm just going to do whatever I want today. I'm going to just feed my flesh today. And I'm just going to be lazy. I'm going to just watch whatever I want to watch. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. I'm going to eat and do whatever I want to do. I'm not filled with the Spirit. Okay? And so it doesn't happen once forever, just as salvation does. It happens as I yield myself daily to the Holy Spirit. Number three, as a man consumes strong drink to get through difficult times, although it usually has the opposite effect, usually compounds the problem, so a man must have the Holy Spirit as his sufficiency to walk and serve according to God's plan. So just as a man would say, I need alcohol because I got to cover my problems. I got to get rid of my problems. No. We need the Holy Spirit to realize he's the one, and we yield ourselves to him to help us through those situations and deal with those problems as God would have us to. And so we need to yield ourselves to him. Number four, strong drink affects the physical forces of man, usually for bad, usually for evil. But the filling of the Spirit affects the spiritual life for good. Anytime we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and give ourselves to him, He always will use that to grow us, to sharpen us, to help us to be what we need to be for God. And then fifthly, man's needs are never met through strong drink. I have never met anyone yet who gets himself drunk time after time after time after time and says, you know, finally I reached it. I finally got my needs met by drinking alcohol. I've never met someone like that. But we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, we'll find resources that are limitless to meet every need that we have and to meet those needs as they come. And it's just, we can never find satisfaction in the things that the world says will meet our needs. We always have to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the filling of the Spirit doesn't mean we receive more of the Holy Spirit. All the Holy Spirit that I'm going to get, I got when I got saved. The Holy Spirit indwells me. And as Pastor Harmon said this morning, when we trusted Christ, we didn't just get 10%. When we trusted Christ, we got all of what God was going to give us. But what's the real issue? How much is God going to get of me? And that's where the filling of the Holy Spirit takes place, is that's when I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. That's when I'm filled with the Spirit. It's when I give myself completely to Him. I yield myself and say, God, use me, direct me, give me wisdom, guide my day. And I say, it's not going to work for me to make my own choices. I've got to have God directing me. I've got to have God showing me the right way. You know, I was thinking about this as I was studying. You know, there's times where you sit down and you have some spare time. You think, how should I use my spare time? Well, I can go just waste my time looking at junk, looking at things, and just, you know, looking at ads or looking at newspaper and looking at the news. Or there's times that I can spend that time and I can use it reading God's Word, and I can spend it thinking on God's Word and meditating on it. And you think, well, that sounds super spiritual. Well, we're supposed to feed ourselves with God's Word continuously because we need it. You know, I sit down, we have three meals a day. You know, now I'm spoiled because now I've got to take my medicine every 4 hours. I get to have something to eat every time I take my medicine. So I'm eating all kinds of food all day. Isn't that what we should be doing with God's Word? Any opportunity we have at spare time, we should be meditating on God's Word. Maybe we can't physically pick it up and read it, but maybe we can remember a promise that we got that morning. Maybe we can remember something that He gave us that day. Maybe you can remember a conversation we had today in church with somebody encouraging us in God's Word, encouraging us in our spiritual walk. And so we yield ourselves to God and say, God, please use me today. Please use my time to honor You. And that's what the filling of the Holy Spirit is. The next time we're going to look at seven ways that the Holy Spirit's work is seen in a believer's life, and seven manifestations of that, of how a believer is filled with the Spirit. And we could say that those are criteria that we can use to see if a person truly is filled. Let me just share those with you, and we'll talk about those next time. The first one is the Spirit produces Christian character. The second one is the Spirit produces Christian service. Thirdly, the Spirit teaches. Fourthly, the Spirit promotes praise and thanksgiving. Fifthly, the Spirit leads. Sixth, the Spirit witnesses with our spirit. And seven, the Spirit maketh intercession for us. And so those are all ways that the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, is manifested in our lives. And we'll look at those next time we meet together to talk about this. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You that when You saved us, You didn't leave us to fend for ourselves. But You give us the opportunity, You give us the sealing in our own hearts of the Holy Spirit, and You gave us the indwelling Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to help us to know how to live. Father, help us to yield ourselves to You. Help us to completely commit ourselves to allowing You to lead our lives, that we might be filled with the Spirit, that we might be completely governed by Your Word and by Your principles. Father, we thank You for the things that You will teach us as we spend time in Your Word this week. And I pray that You would bring us back together as we meet again on Wednesday and next Sunday, that we would hear more from Your Word. Father, help us to take the time daily to be in Your Word. We thank You for what You will do. In Jesus' name. Amen.